You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision. Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Boulder Weekly, read by Bill Bass. Today we will be reading the following main articles. From News: Pain, Fear, Resilience, Pride. Boulder's Jewish community picks up the pieces after June 1st attack. From Music: Second Sight. Big Love Car Wash draws on Colorado roots and stage telepathy for Gold Hill Inn debut. And from Nibbles: Roadside Attractions, your guide to Boulder County's farm stands. And following up with miscellaneous articles. From the News section: Pain, Fear, Resilience, Pride. Boulder's Jewish community picks up the pieces after June 1st attack, by Boulder Weekly staff. The thing is, life continues, said Ruth Gelfarb, rabbi at Boulder's congregation Har Hashem. And so it has. Mere weeks after a man threw Molotov cocktails at a crowd of people on Pearl Street Mall's central block, life has settled back into its old rhythms for most Boulderites. The Boulder County Courthouse opened 2 days after the June 1st attack on the building's doorstep. Businesses say customers and crowds have come back. The demonstrators who were targeted have held 2 regularly scheduled walks advocating for the release of Israeli hostages taken by Hamas on October 7, 2023. But for the local Jewish community, the return to normalcy has been punctuated by varied and turbulent feelings, say Gelfarb and other leaders. Pain, fear, resilience, pride. Everyone is in a different place, and every day a different emotion comes up for people, said Jonathan Lev, executive director of the Boulder Jewish Community Center, JCC. Moving forward, many more people have come to Har Hashem's religious services since June 1st, according to Gelfarb. A similar surge in attendance happened at her New York synagogue after September 11, 2001, she said, as the community rallied to grieve and comfort one another. Not to be alone in your pain is so important, Gelfarb said. No one can heal themselves alone. C.U. Hillel, the Campus Center for Jewish Life, has spent the last 2 weeks reaching out to members of the student Jewish community and their families. The first thing I noticed was an outpouring of support, which was heartwarming to feel, said Executive Director Eliana Funk. I have had a lot of parents reaching out and being worried. It's been more like, what can we do to support? How are you moving forward as a community? The Boulder Jewish Festival, held 1 week after the violence, was the best attended ever, Lev said, drawing an estimated 15,000. Thousands marched with Run for Their Lives in the group's first public event following the attack on its members, held during the Jewish festival. Lindsay Shaw, owner of Lindsay's Boulder Deli, who is Jewish, attended the festival and said she's also felt an outpouring of support. She is trying to balance those feelings of community solidarity with her ongoing fears and the responsibility she feels to rise above them. I can't be scared of it. I've started to get scared at the festival, but then I was like, I'm letting them win. So I can't even think about it that much, she said. I'm trying to serve good food in a clean environment and have great customer service. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to worry about who's going to walk in the door or what's someone going to do now on the mall. Safe spaces. In the days following June 1st, Boulder police initially made some changes to scheduling for our patrol officers to provide more coverage on the streets and in our communities, said Boulder Police Deputy Chief of Operations Barry Hartkopp. At the Jewish Festival, SWAT teams were on the streets and snipers were on the roofs. Police presence in the community has since reduced that back down to a normal response, normal scheduling, Hartkopp said. But we still are planning ahead, trying to upstaff where we can. We are looking at all the events that are planned for the city of Boulder and evaluating them based upon information that we have, and taking steps to try to keep those events as safe as possible within our capability. The 2023 Hamas attack and Israel's subsequent military campaign in Gaza have heightened threats to Jewish, Arab, and Muslim people in Colorado. As of June 11, 2025, more than 1,200 Israelis and 55,104 Palestinians have been killed, according to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. In 2024, 47 anti-Jewish hate crimes were reported in Colorado, according to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, nearly triple the average number reported annually since 2008. In 2023, reported anti-Arab and anti-Muslim hate crimes spiked to 15, about half of which occurred after October 7th, though there's no data linking the crimes as a response to the event. This data only represents reported incidents. The 2021 National Crime Victimization Survey revealed 42% of hate crimes from 2005 to 2019 went unreported. 23% of victims said they didn't report the crime because they believed the police could not or would not do anything to help. Hartkopp said police have not received any specific request for enhanced security from the Muslim community, nor are we aware of any reported threats to this community. The Islamic Center of Boulder and the CU Muslim Student Association did not respond to requests for comment. LGBTQ, Muslim community, the Jewish community, any community in our city is important to us, Hartkopp said. It's really critical that we ensure that all of our community members feel that they're safe and have the right to have gatherings and to express themselves. He said he was not aware of additional incidents or threats tied directly to the Pearl Street attack. But what we're seeing really is that concern and the fear in our community based upon what did take place. CU Hillel's Funk said the organization was already working on security enhancements before the June 1st attack, but the violence only made it more important to the organization. I don't know what the year will look like, she said. We will continue to provide safe spaces where Jews can come together and build community. It's heavy right now. Amid rising tensions, CU Hillel recognized a need for mental health support for Jewish students on campus. In May, the organization began the application process for a grant to hire a wellness director, according to Funk. People are not okay, and students are not immune to that, she said. It's heavy right now, obviously with this attack, but also the war and October 7th changed our Jewish community forever. So we are needing extra mental health support here, too. Denver nonprofit Jewish Family Services is providing one-on-one and group counseling sessions free of charge. Community Foundation of Boulder County and Denver-based Rose Community Foundation provided funding. Lev and Gelfarb both recommended reaching out directly to Jewish friends and neighbors to check in, offer a meal, or share some small act of kindness, and to keep doing so far into the future. It really makes a difference when people reach out and send the love and send the support to people in the Jewish community, Lev said. That's not just the week after, that's next month. People move on, Gelfarb said, but healing takes time. Kaylee Harder, Tyler Hickman, and Shay Castle contributed reporting. There's a photograph accompanying this article showing attendees at a community vigil. There are two ladies embracing, and there's probably 10 people in the picture. Their backs are mostly turned to the camera. And the caption reads, attendees embrace before a community vigil at the Boulder Jewish Community Center in Boulder on June 4, 2025. Credit Andy Ross, The Denver Post. In music, Second Sight. Big Love Car Wash draws on Colorado roots and Stage Telepathy for Gold Hill Inn debut by Justin Criado. Hearing Sol Chase talk about how he and his bandmates first discovered they all possessed the same sixth sense makes ESP sound plausible. The first time we all played together, we felt there was something special there, the 27-year-old vocalist and mandolinist of bluegrass-obsessed Americana quartet Big Love Car Wash says of the newfound Stage Telepathy. As a working musician in and around the Austin scene for the past decade, Chase is well-versed in the unspoken symmetry of artistic collaboration. That's exactly what he, Everett Wren, vocals, fiddle, dobro, lap steel, guitar, percussion, David Rabinowitz, vocals, guitar, piano, and Taylor Turner, upright and electric bass, tapped into after he recruited the trio for a solo show back in 2022. We've all done pickup gigs, he says. You play hundreds and hundreds of gigs with all different people, and every now and then something just really clicks, and you think the same thoughts. When you find that, you want to hold on to it, Chase, who also calls Ireland home for half of the year, continues. It's really special now that we don't even live in the same place full time, but we're all so interested in playing together and seeing what's going to happen when we get together, we make time for it. In Harmony. After a short stint playing out under the Sol Chase Band banner, the Found Family foursome evolved into the current incarnation of Big Love Car Wash. Soon after, the kindred spirits were all thinking the same thing. They needed to write a proper record. Following 3 weeks last November at the legendary Arlen Studios, a hallowed space that's welcomed everyone from Meat Puppets to Merle Haggard since opening its doors in 1984, the result is debut album Daydream, released independently earlier this month. The quartet pulled from a cache of ideas in winnowing down the track list to the best 16. Naturally, Big Love Car Wash found themselves in harmony. The writing process was really fluid. We had a lot of song starts, given there are three songwriters in the band. Chase says, but one of my favorite things about this group is the trust we had for following an idea of someone else's. Maybe even if it was counter to what we initially thought. By the end of working through the first musical idea, we're often in agreement. A heart-forward experience. Bouncing between traditional bluegrass and jam, Daydream showcases Big Love Car Wash's breezy style, particularly on tracks like Dante, Silver Lining, and 21st Century Telegraph. Without a preconceived through line, the songs are tied together by the themes of community building and empathy, according to Chase, who also plays Buzuki. The grief-stricken mandolin jammer, Memorial, is a great example of that, he says. It's a friend of yours who's mourning the loss of their parents. You're at the funeral and watching them go through this really difficult time, Chase explains. It immediately resonated with us. I hope it translates to folks in the same way that it felt to us. Big Love Car Wash is now sharing Daydream on tour, their first time on the road under the moniker featuring more than half a dozen Colorado shows, including a June 25th stop at Gold Hill Inn. It's also a homecoming for Chase, who spent part of his childhood in Crested Butte and lived in Boulder for 4 years. He says the Rocky Mountain Jamgrass runs deep. I'd go to Telluride Bluegrass and Rocky Grass every summer. I came up in the Colorado scene, he says. That's definitely my musical roots. The jamgrass and bluegrass scene on the Front Range and going to those festivals. Interlude 1, the Colorado Waltz, is a little tip of the hat to that. The name Big Love Car Wash is also an homage to Jeff Austin, the late founder of Nederland's Yonder Mountain String Band. He described the experience of being at a show when the crowd's just right and you got this energy interchange between performer and audience. They give you their attention and you use that to perform at your best, and then that brings the crowd up to meet you, and it's this positive feedback loop, Chase says. He described that, in his words, as a big love car wash. We feel that on stage very often, not only with the audience but also with the band itself, pushing each other to be better and feeling spurred on by the energy on stage, he continues. So we wanted to honor him. It's just perfectly resonated with the experience we have with playing music, which is very much a heart-forward experience. On the bill, Big Love Car Wash, 6 p.m. Wednesday, June 25th, Gold Hill Inn, 401 Main Street, Boulder, free. There are two photographs accompanying this article. The first is a picture of the band, starting with Everett Wren holding a fiddle. He's wearing a blue western-type shirt and blue jeans. The second is Soul Chase wearing a red jumpsuit-type outfit holding a mandolin. The third is Taylor Turner wearing a black t-shirt, and he's standing behind an upright electric bass, followed by David Rabinowitz wearing a white outfit, and he is holding his guitar in front of him. It's resting on the ground. That photo is courtesy of Big Love Car Wash. The second photograph is of the Daydream album cover. It appears as having a background of tiles that are in a rows of blues and purples or violets. And then there are tiles in kind of a squiggly, wandering fashion across the cover that are black tiles with the letters Big Love Car Wash and Daydream spelled out. And the caption reads, Daydream by Big Love Car Wash was released independently June 6, 2025, courtesy Big Love Car Wash. And in Nibbles, Roadside Attractions, Your Guide to Boulder County's Farm Stands by John Lindorf. Spending a Saturday morning visiting the farm stands dotting rural roads is like playing an immersive agricultural video game. As you hit more stands, you win by gathering the most greens, loaves, and blooms to take home. Boulder County is home to a genuine wealth of distinctive local farms offering a pastoral escape. These little agricultural oases often grow unusual, less common vegetable and flower varieties you won't see at supermarkets. Some function as true neighborhood markets stocking locally raised meats, eggs, honey, breads, and food products. They may be permanent buildings or simply a box by the side of the road. Signage and parking can be challenging. The supply of greens, herbs, veggies, and fruits are often limited each day. For the best selection of just-picked produce, arrive early. Bring your own shopping bags, but leave dogs at home and away from the chickens, ducks, horses, and especially the llamas. Seventh Generation Farm, 100 South 96th Street, Louisville. Noon to 5 p.m. Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, Tuesday and Wednesday by appointment. This historic farm is home to a year-round stand that offers locally raised meats including beef and pork, as well as fresh produce, eggs, and honey. Farm hours expand during the fall for a pumpkin patch and hay rides. Aspen Moon Farm, 7940 Hygiene Road, Hygiene, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday. The permanent stand at one of Boulder County's larger farms offers a cornucopia of certified organically grown vegetables, flowers, berries, herbs, and heirloom grains. Aspen Moon is a great source for diverse tomatoes and chilies, as well as kohlrabi, tatsoi, Swiss chard, and hakuri turnips. The farm also sells at the Saturday Boulder and Longmont Farmers Markets. The Bee Hugger, 12590 Ute Highway, Longmont, 8 a.m. to dusk daily. The Bee Hugger is as much a family agricultural experience as a farm stand with pony and unicorn rides. Farm animals, a picnic area, you pick flower fields, and a self-serve stand offering honey from the resident hives. The farm also hosts live music nights. Benevolence Orchard and Gardens, 6712 J Road, Boulder, 10 a.m. to dusk daily. When you see the Benevolence bus, turn into the driveway to check out a self-service stand loaded with vegetables, herbs, flowers, and fruit grown on the farm. Many local fruit tree owners take classes from the resident orchard experts. Big Ash Farm, 3151 95th Street, Boulder. Daytime hours daily. The self-serve honor system roadside trailer offers eggs, veggies, and a panoramic landscape. Balto Farms and Boulder Lavender, 7957 Arapahoe Road, Boulder. Daytime hours daily. A cool honor system mini stand cart overlooking a field of lavender offers lavender, vegetables, eggs, honey, and food products. Buckner Family Ranch, 13790 East I-25 Frontage Road, Unit D5, Longmont. 2 to 6 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. The Longmont producer of the locally raised lamb, beef, and pork served in many local restaurants holds a meat sale monthly at its Longmont warehouse. Go to BucknerRanch.com for dates. They're also at the Lafayette Farmers Market every Sunday. Cooperative Farm Stand, 9722 Empire Road, Louisville, 3 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday. This new stand at Herbiculture Project Hub offers produce, herbs, plants, and local foods as well as garden tours. Cure Organic Farm, 7416 Valmont Road, Boulder, noon to 5 p.m. daily. This busy farm stand is jammed with organically grown vegetables, lettuces, diverse herbs, and a palette of bright flowers. The shelves are stocked with food from some of the state's best fruit growers, ranchers, and food makers. Grandma's Farm Produce, 11596 Weld County Road 1, Longmont, daylight hours daily. This self-serve shack on an old family farm is packed with Colorado veggies, fruit, meat, baked goods, and preserves. Growing Gardens, 1630 Hawthorne Avenue, Boulder, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Wednesday. The Growing Gardens farm stand is only open one day a week, but the farm is busy every day with gardening classes and kids' camps. Jacob Springs Farm Store, 7602 Arapaho Road, Boulder. Self-service stand open daily for members. Jacob Springs is a membership-based, $10 a month, farm stand offering dairy products, milk, yogurt, butter, meats, lamb, beef, pork, chicken, heirloom grains, baked goods, and prepared foods made on the farm. Membership perk, unlimited free spring water. Let It Be Honey and More Store, 4689 Ute Highway, Unit B, Lyons, noon to 5 p.m., Wednesday through Saturday. Experience pollinator immersion in this roadside stop offering everything bee-related, honey, pollen, beeswax, candles, royal jelly, honey candy, and gifts. Massa Seed Foundation Farm, 1367 North 75th Street, Boulder. 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday. Massa is a nationally known source for organic, nine-hybrid heirloom seeds grown in Boulder. Massa's farm stand offers fresh vegetables, greens, and wise gardening advice. Meadow Lake Honey, 7922 Meadow Lake Road, Niwot. Daytime hours. This small porch self-serve stand offers raw honey collected at the family's on-site apiary. Montgomery Homestead Farm Stand, 10290 Isabel Road, Lafayette. Daylight hours daily. In its 161st year as a family farm, the self-service stand features vegetables, plants, and eggs. Munson Farms, 75th and Valmont Road, Boulder. 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily, starting in late July. Munson Farms is Boulder County's oldest and best-known farm stand, supplying generations of visitors with sweet corn, diverse vegetables, and western slope fruit. In the fall, it becomes a pumpkin patch and holiday tree source. All in Farms, 8627 North 95th Street, Longmont, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays. All in Farms maintains a well-stocked roadside store packed with fresh veggies from its fields in Longmont. Look for All in Farms Wednesday produce pop-up stand at Lafayette's Odd 13 Brewing. Red Wagon Farm, 1640 West Baseline Road at Thomas Open Space, Lafayette. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily, opening in late July. The local farm operates a roomy roadside barn well-stocked with Red Wagon produce, but also a wealth of locally produced mushrooms, eggs, and other food products. Rocky Mountain Milk House, 4511 County Road 32, Longmont, Meade, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. Farm fresh milk, chocolate milk, cream, gelato, eggs, and cheese are available at this small store. Shadow Butte Lake Ranch, Valmont Road near 70th Street, Boulder. Daylight hours daily. A small self-service roadside box offers eggs and some fresh vegetables. Speedwell Farm, 8104 North 63rd Street, Longmont, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. Speedwell supplies a wide variety of farm produce, vegetables, herbs, and greens, as well as pork, beef, eggs, and honey. Suarez Market, 11078 North 66th Street, Longmont. Check website for market hours. SuarezWines.com. The small family-run stand offers produce, eggs, baked goods, and gifts. Summer Dog Farm, 8716 Arapahoe Road, Boulder, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. The Summer Dog Shack features fresh produce as well as jars of small batch jams, classic baked goods, honey and bee products. Be sure to say hi to the bevy of bouncing goats. Sunbeam Farm, 1005 Cherryvale Road, Boulder. Dawn to dusk daily. This urban honor system stand offers garden plants, eggs, and some organically grown greens and vegetables. Tabor Acres, 3918 North 119th Street, Lafayette. Daylight hours daily. The farm specializes in growing flowers, but the small self-service stand also offers honey and eggs. The Little Egg Stand, 1324 County Road 7, Erie. Daylight hours daily. Self-service, cash or Venmo. Stand offering chicken and duck eggs. Three Leaf Farm, 445 South 112th Street, Lafayette. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturdays. The Three Leaf Farm stand offers the same fresh veggies, herbs, and flowers featured at Leaf Vegetarian Restaurant, Zucca, Chautauqua Dining Hall, and Boulder Dushanbe Tea House. Three Leaf also has a booth at the new Sunday Lafayette Farmers Market. Yaya Farm and Orchard, 6914 Ute Highway, Longmont. Hours vary by season. Visit yayafarmandorchard.com/farmstand. An immersive agricultural Yaya visit includes cute farm animals and tree fruit, apple cider donuts, apple pie, and other treats. Did we miss any? Let us know if we forgot your favorite spot. We'll add them to the online listing. Email complete details to nibbles@boulderweekly.com. John Lindorf co-hosts Kitchen Table Talk with Chef Dan Asher monthly on KGNU. Podcast, kgnu.org/category/radio-nibbles. This article is accompanied by two photographs. The first just shows some greens. Looks like a bunch of garlics. And there's some signs below that showing prices. The one most legible says fennel, $4. Credit John Lindorf. The second photo shows a rural scene, appears to be an old horse trailer in a field with a sign next to it that says Farm Fresh Eggs. There's a wagon wheel and some hay in the picture and a fence. And back behind that, there's a sign that says Big Ash Farms, Eggs. There are several clouds in a blue sky. And you can see mountains in the background. Credit John Lindorf. In On Drugs, opinion, Colorado kids are not high on life. Oft-cited survey on teen cannabis use not backed up by objective data. By Anna Segur. In Colorado, a wide swath of politicians, regulatory agencies, and industry representatives have seized on the Healthy Kids Colorado survey as definitive proof that the legalization of cannabis in Colorado has led to a decrease in teen use. However, parents and local addiction counselors that work with youth point to an exponential increase in cannabis use among teens, particularly of dangerous and untested high-potency THC products. Colorado's young people are facing deadly health consequences as a result of this increased access and use. From 2013 to 2023, Colorado Poison Center calls for marijuana exposure tripled from 62 to 251 per year for youth 0 to 19 years of age in 2023. 60% of these calls were for children under 5. Similarly, for edibles, products that look and taste like candy, there were no poison center calls registered before legalization. But in 2023, they represented over half of the Colorado youth marijuana poison center calls. Source: reported marijuana exposures in Colorado, Rocky Mountain Poison and Drug Safety. After legalization in Colorado, cannabis-related ER visits for 13 to 21-year-olds quadrupled, with the majority of adolescent cases requiring psychiatric treatment. Source: monitoring health concerns related to marijuana in Colorado, 2022 summary, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Since legalization, toxicology reports for Colorado youth aged 10 to 18 who committed suicide showed that 25% had THC in their system at the time of death. These toxicology reports show that cannabis was the substance most commonly present at time of death, nearly double the rate of alcohol. Furthermore, from 2019 to 2022, a third of Black and Hispanic children who committed suicide had THC in their system at the time of death. The Healthy Kids Colorado Survey is a voluntary, confidential survey administered in school by the state of Colorado. The online survey asks for children to self-report on a variety of behaviors, including drug use. People who work with Colorado youth have shared that kids don't believe the results are confidential, and some laughed out loud when told that the Healthy Kids survey shows a drop in teenage marijuana use since legalization. Research into the use of surveys on self-reported drug use has concluded that such surveys underestimate actual drug use by 30 to 60% and should be verified by objective measures such as hair toxicology. Another source of objective measures on actual teen use is the Colorado Department of Education's disciplinary incidence data. This measure aggregates annual disciplinary reports from all public schools in Colorado. The first year cannabis disciplinary data was recorded was in the 2015 to 2016 school year, 1 year after recreational sales began in the state. Over a 7-year period, disciplinary incidents involving cannabis in Colorado schools nearly doubled, increasing from 3,704 to 6,671 per year, while total enrollment decreased by less than 1%. Furthermore, in the 2022-23 school year, there were 6.5 times as many disciplinary incidents for cannabis in school as there were for alcohol. It is not plausible that teen use goes down while disciplinary incidents in Colorado schools go up. Another objective measure of actual teen use is law enforcement criminal citations involving minors for possession or sale of marijuana or paraphernalia. This data is not currently aggregated or available at a statewide level. Requesting this data from law enforcement agencies is time-consuming and costly, as it requires payment of Colorado Open Records access fees, but could be required annual reporting under Colorado law to increase transparency around teen use. I encourage greater curiosity among the public health scientists, regulators, and politicians who are loudly heralding the Colorado cannabis success story, solely based on the self-reported results from the Colorado Healthy Kids survey. It is time to triangulate the Healthy Kids survey data with these other data points that show increasing youth marijuana use and negative health impacts. Our kids deserve laws based on science and safety. Anna Segur is a Boulder-based mother and activist. She has a master's degree in international affairs from Columbia University. This article is accompanied by a photograph. There is no caption or credits. Showing four youths with the main focus is a young lady in the middle lighting a bong. From the opinion section, Boulder to residents, assume the alternatives. City's transportation policy relies on wishful thinking, outdated U.S. policies. By Dr. Evan W. Rowe. There is a classic academic joke about economists. A group is stranded on a desert island with canned food but no way to open it. While others suggest practical solutions, the economist humorously proposes to assume a can opener. The joke highlights the often overly theoretical nature of economic modeling, where assumptions can solve problems in abstract terms without considering real-world feasibility. Without getting into the minutiae of bad economic humor, the city of Boulder, in its pursuit of actual or perceived green alternatives, has pushed an agenda of limiting parking. It should more accurately be called creating psychological transportation stress. Pay to park. This has taken place in newer areas of town, specifically the Boulder Transit District near 30th and Pearl Streets. Whatever the intent, the outcome is the creation of a high-stress, limited transportation district with monetized alternatives such as metered parking directly in front of apartments, expensive parking garages, and limited parking space, even for residents. My residential apartment complex has 45 units and 42 parking spots. Each unit is allowed one car, but the property manager either refuses or is incapable of dealing with their own parking lot. The city will not let up on metering the immediate perimeter. In typical bureaucratic fashion, both the city and the property manager pass the blame back and forth onto each other. Of course, there is always the grift of the green, i.e., the art of greenwashing an eco-friendly transit district. Complete with buses that turn 30 to 40 minute commutes to Denver or Golden into 2 to 3 hour one-way trips. Alternatively, residents can offer tribute by paying the meter once every 3 hours for the environment, of course. A cynic might think this is just a money grab. If I've learned anything from the American foreign policy space, it's that you can never be too cynical. Much of the environmental rhetoric around this policy direction is rooted in a broader idea to restrict driving overall, i.e., the state initiatives to put citizens on a road diet. This is the transportation analogy of using tariffs to return manufacturing to the United States. Simply slapping up tariff walls will not miraculously bring back domestic industry. If Boulder wanted people to use transportation alternatives, they clearly needed to build out that transportation infrastructure first. Meanwhile, the human subjects the city are experimenting on must figure out how and where to park every night while the city, Element Properties, and property management do absolutely nothing to manage the situation. This makes sense since they are imposing this process on others, not living it out themselves. I'd love to see the members of the political class more broadly live by taking only the bus. Local disconnect. The best case argument for the alternative transportation vision can still be found by traveling back to around 2010, when national policy planners believed the U.S. and one of its junior partners, Germany, would lead the world in green transition. However, by the mid-2020s, China had leapfrogged American technology. It was a non-existent player in the global auto industry in 2019, but is now the global leader in EVs and hybrids, with a similar story in solar and battery tech. Simultaneously, the fracking revolution turned the U.S. into a petrostate, leading in oil and natural gas production. This has resulted in a reversal of the national green agenda. Thus, the new bipartisan consensus is that climate change will take a backseat to national security. While other factors contribute to this dynamic, it represents the central pivot in U.S. federal and foreign policy. Cars for the foreseeable future. Perhaps we can cut the Colorado ecological crowd some slack for trying to get out in front of a curve that seemed likely in the mid-2010s. But it's now quite obvious that roads and vehicles will remain the dominant practical mode of transportation. Expecting the plebs to suck it up and turn 40-minute drives into multi-hour commutes is simple absurdity, especially in light of the national policy direction. There is still hope for transportation alternatives in Boulder and Colorado more broadly, but they will likely need to come in the form of electric vehicles and hybrids. That will deal with the air quality problems, but the transportation alternatives must be rolled out before moving populations in. Expecting people to flounder in high transportation stress environments created by poor planning or just bad forecasting is only a solution for the people not living in the environment. Dr. Evan W. Rowe is an adjunct professor of international relations at the Colorado School of Mines and an adjunct professor of journalism at CU Boulder. His past and current research includes the U.S.-China Trade and Technology War, esports, and American foreign policy at large. This opinion does not necessarily represent the views of Boulder Weekly. There's a photograph accompanying this article. It shows a red brick building with the first floor mainly glass windows. There is a sign above the door that says RTD, so it leads me to believe it's the RTD building. Otherwise, no indication of where this is. They're standing in a mall area. There's several people. There's a placard on display and a tent booth of some kind back behind them. No indication of what that is. And they're standing around talking. And there's a large piece of metallic artwork standing above them. And in events, June 20th, Vigeras in History and Art, 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Friday, June 20th, Museum of Boulder, 2205 Boulder, free. This community celebration is co-led by youth who will present on human rights, equity, and migrant heritage through spoken word and visual art, with the goal of sparking dialogue across generations. Organizers hope to promote a culture of peace, compassion, and youth leadership through creative expression. And that event is accompanied by a photograph of the Museum of Boulder. June 20th, Summer Solstice Q&A and Solar Telescope Viewing, 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Friday, June 20th, Museum of Boulder, 2205 Broadway, free. Stare at the sun, safely, without burning your corneas, on the longest day of the year with the help of Fisk Planetarium astronomer Anna Pesci. Learn all about our solar system's light giver during a presentation followed by a viewing session of the sun through a solar telescope. That event is accompanied by a photograph that appears to show a planetarium in the background on a hill, and in the foreground, is a solar telescope with blue skies behind that. June 20th. Paris is burning, 7 to 9 p.m., Friday, June 20th, Longmont Museum, 400 Quail Road, $15, $12 for members. Pride Realness hits the runway during Longmont Museum's special screening of the seminal LGBTQ+ documentary, Paris is Burning, exploring Harlem's vibrant 80s drag ball scene through the lens of its predominantly Black and Latinx communities. The groundbreaking film by director Jenny Livingston remains a tentpole of queer cinema. That event is accompanied by a photograph of assuming to be Black and Latinx LGBTQ+ community members. And they appear to be dancing with their hands up in the air. June 20th, The Science of Ice Cream, 3:30 to 4:15 p.m., Friday, June 20th. Wow! Children's Museum, 110 North Harrison Avenue, Lafayette, $12, $10 for members. Your kiddo will never complain about science class again after this sweet lesson in chemistry. Learn the art of liquids and solids and turning liquids into solids as you make ice cream alongside your little one. Hopefully, they'll be willing to share the finished result of your joint experiment. That event is accompanied by a photograph of a bowl of ice cream. It has 3 scoops on it with a spoon stuck in it. June 20th, Bluegrass Cider Jam, 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, June 20th, St. Vrain Cidery, 350 Terry Street, Suite 130, down the alleyway, Longmont, free. Grab your fiddle or your banjo or just your toe-tapping shoes and pick on down to St. Vrain Cidery for a monthly laid-back bluegrass jam with a side of cider. The jam is open for all levels and all lovers of playing and listening, so don't be shy. That event is accompanied by a black and white photograph of a man strumming a mandolin. June 21st, Cool Grasses of Heil Valley Ranch, 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday, June 21st, Heil Valley Ranch, 1188 Gear Canyon Road, Boulder, free. Big trees and beautiful flowers get all the love in the floral world, but real ones know grasses or where the action's at. Join naturalists on a 1.5-mile hike to learn about the native grass species of the foothills, how they bounce back from wildfire, and how managing them can be used to prevent the next big blaze. Registration required. bit.ly/Heil Valley Grasses. That event is accompanied by a scenic photograph showing a field or meadow. It's all green with hills in the background, clouds in a blue sky. June 21st, Summer Vibes Bike Rally and Run Festival, 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday, June 21st, Bone Park, 199 2nd Avenue, Lyons, free. Prices vary for participants. What's more Colorado-coded than a trail-running, gravel-biking, live music campout bash in the mountains? Add in a beer relay and you've got yourself a certified summer vibe fest. The first installation of this festival features an all-day lineup of adventure races and competitions with an after-party at La Mariposa. Visit SummerVibesRally.com for entry fees and camping information. This event is accompanied by a photograph that appears to be either the start or finish of a race. It has the large inflatable arch above the finish line or starting line. And there are several runners running through it. There's a large crowd of people behind them. with several large pop-up tents, booth-type tents, and the one that is legible reads Oscar Blues Brewing. Thank you for joining us for the Boulder Weekly, read by Bill Bass.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.
The content featured in this recording may not reflect the views of Aftersight or the presenter. For questions, concerns, or editorial feedback regarding the Boulder Weekly, contact letters@boulderweekly.com or call 303-494-5511.